So you're ready to move onward and upward? Ready? Are you ready to advance the kingdom? To advance the kingdom. I'm going to look at a few scriptures here, and then I'll spend probably the rest of the time talking about how this word came about. It's a scary thing to presume to hear the voice of God, which is our word last year was the voice of truth. And we heard his voice over and over again throughout the year. You heard his voice as you lived your life, and we're going to continue to hear his voice. Continuing to hear his voice will be paramount to moving onward and upward to advancing his kingdom. So we don't leave behind last year's word. We just add it to the equation, and we build upon it. And Paul talks about the verse that is sort of core to this word this year is from Philippians, a very familiar verse. This isn't something that's brand new to many of you, but it's Paul just talking to the church at Philippi and basically just saying, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I want to pause a minute. We're going to look more into some verses in Philippians, but I want to pause a minute and just talk about this call heavenward. This is not just our eternal destination. We're not talking about when we die, we go to heaven. That's a fact. That's part of the equation, but it is actually not the point of this call heavenward. We've talked several times over the last couple of years about the whole idea of Jesus seating us in heavenly places. Seating us in heavenly places, that's right here, right now, while we're on earth. We get to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And we've talked about this several times. We've had messages on it. Pastor Shane did a message called The Frequency of Heaven's Frequency. Frequency of heaven. This is what we're talking about. So these words that we hear over and over again, they're continually relevant to what the Lord has next for us. And so this whole idea of God raised us up with Christ, that's what Paul tells the church at Ephesus. He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That is not the eternity that we know of as living the rest of our life in heaven with Jesus. That is living life on earth right now, but he's seated us with him, so we function from that location. That we are seated with him, and because we're seated with him, we have access to him continually to hear his instructions, to get his nudges and his corrections as they come. And then, of course, another verse related to this is Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples about how to pray, they asked him how to pray, and one of the core parts of that prayer was, your kingdom come. Okay, we all know the prayer, our Father, thou art in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. So even in the instruction to pray was this idea of you've called us heaven, you're calling us heavenward, and we press on in that. So there's action on our end. This is in no way a passive word. It's an active word. And we experienced some of that today. During every single time you bow down and worship, you're advancing the kingdom. You know why? Because as we bow down and worship him, he's ministering, he's doing things, he's making deposits in us. And so we're advancing the kingdom because he's advancing the kingdom in you. And so whenever we willingly and intentionally, one of the ladies in our class this morning said, my word for this year is intentional, to be intentional. That's a good word for every one of us. Are we intentional about advancing the kingdom? Are we intentional about moving onward and upward? Are we intentional about recognizing that we're seated next to Jesus in heavenly places? And when that happens, when we respond to that knowledge of that, a revelation of that, he does works in us. He makes deposits in us. He speaks to us. He changes things that only he can change. So we're gonna spend a little time reviewing just some of the context of the verse, the core verse from Philippians. I just want to highlight a few things that are in the verses leading up to that passage, just a few contextual verses from Philippians 3 that are going to be foundational to this assignment. And Philippians 3:3 says this: we serve God by his Spirit, who boasts in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. And I want to highlight that because I want to just put us on notice. If you're in this room today and you still think that there's something about your flesh or your own mindset or your own strength or your own wisdom or your own agenda or whatever that you think will accomplish anything for the kingdom, it will not. It will not. So if you're in this room today and you have that thought, my simple request is to just repent of it and say, Lord, I'm wrong. My flesh can accomplish nothing. My flesh, so I want to put my confidence in you. And so show me how to do that. Keep showing me how to do that. And if there's somebody in this room who doesn't know how to do that, talk to somebody. Talk to somebody around you. Talk to one of our pastors. Talk to one of the leaders. Talk to one of your brothers and sisters in Jesus. There's a lot of equipped people around here. So that's one of the first contextual points from this Philippians 3. A couple other ones. 3:10, this is Paul again. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, and this is the really scary, dangerous part, and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And my question, because he says, I want to know Christ, my question is, do you? Do you? It's not a hard question. Well, maybe a hard question to answer, honestly. But I'm going to encourage you to answer it. You don't need to necessarily answer it today, but why wait? Do you want to know the power of his resurrection? Because knowing the power of his resurrection means we have that same power within us to raise dead people. That may be physically sometime, but more than anything, there's a lot of dead people that are living among us in our everyday life. Dry bones. And if we're set on advancing the kingdom and moving onward and upward, part of our assignment will be to function in the power of his resurrection, which means, again, no room for confidence in the flesh. So do you. Do you want to participate in his sufferings? I mean, everything about my flesh says, nah, I'll pass on that part of the equation. But it doesn't really give us that option. It doesn't say, if you'd like to pick and choose, pick one of the above. Not what it says. And then Philippians 3:7, more context here. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. The surpassing worth, which again then just leads to surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. If I were to ask Caleb sitting right here about the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, he would scream it from the top of his lungs. How long has it been? 3 years, 5 months clean from addiction. Yeah. And I could go around this room. So you know, that's not my story. That's not my story. It's his story. But every one of us has one. Yeah. Yeah, before Jesus, you know, before Jesus, that verse about having no confidence in the flesh, before Jesus, I had no confidence in anything. That's one of the first things Jesus gave me when I was 20 years old, when I said yes to Jesus, surrendered my life to Jesus. I had no confidence. Somewhere along the line, as I began studying the Word, he began giving me confidence, not in myself. It's the worth of knowing him. I was beginning to get to know the Savior of the world. So part of this equation of moving onward and upward and advancing the kingdom is acknowledging along the way his surpassing worth, and that's just a place of worship. That's a place of worship. If worship is not part of your daily existence, boy, make it part of it. Make it part of it. It's honestly where your assignments are going to come from. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then here's the rest of the context here. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. So we're still in process. This is not this message does not come from any place that we've arrived. Paul says so himself, and Paul of all people could probably say he arrived, but he didn't. I haven't arrived at my goal yet, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind. Now, this doesn't mean forgetting where you came from. But at some point, if we're a follower of Jesus, we have to let go of the things that have harmed us, the things that have tainted us, the things that have wounded us, the things that hurt in life. We have a Savior who died for those things. And I'm not diminishing anybody's pain. I'm not diminishing any loss. I'm not diminishing trials. We all have them. We will have them. Participation in the sufferings, part of the equation. Do you know that you can be suffering, going through one of the worst trials in your life, and you're still advancing the kingdom because people are watching you? People are watching the people of God to see how do they maneuver through that. And I'm not suggesting in any way that we ever have to do that perfectly. We fall short. That's why we have a Savior. I was thinking, I wrote this in my notes just today. Are you in a messy situation? There's lots of messy situations. Even in the body of Christ, there's messy situations. But this word is for even in the middle of those messy situations. Because he wants to move us onward and upward and us for to advance the kingdom and show how strong he is to clean up the mess. And we at Abundant Life Fellowship are not afraid of messes. Let us enter into your mess to help you through it, to help pull you out of it. We got a whole body of people who love Jesus and love people. So if you're in one of those messes, include your brothers and sisters to be a solution to the problem. So I had said my last full message apart from Christmas Eve was a message that I said was Holy Spirit had dropped into my lap as we were winding up 2025, the voice of truth, and entering into 2026, and I already had this word. The Lord said, you're fueled and you're ready. You're fueled and you're ready. And we had our whole lesson was fueled and ready. And I said that was this kind of middle message between the end of last year and the beginning of this one, is that we are fueled and ready to advance the kingdom. You're equipped. I say this a lot around here. You don't need to ask someone's permission to share Jesus. You don't need to ask anybody's permission to invite people into your home. You don't need to ask anybody's permission to have a Bible study or have a worship night. You're equipped, you're ready. And then we also talked, I think my message before that, which Pastor Shane picked up on last week, was an Issachar anointing. An Issachar anointing, which, you know, Pastor Shane last week talked about times and seasons, and it was all about the same thing. He said he almost called it the same thing, part two. And the whole idea is that the people of Issachar understood the times and knew what to do. And I honestly believe we, as part of the body of Christ, Abundant Life Fellowship, an arm of the body of Christ, understand the times we're living in, and we know what to do. Not because we're perfect, and not because we're all that smart, although we have a lot of smart people around here, but because we sit at the feet of Jesus. As Pastor Shane said last week, it's because we have friendship with God. And because we have friendship with God, he reveals things to us. He talks to us. And so we can understand the times and know what to do. And so these words leading up to this word were all relevant. They're all relevant. In Pastor Shane's message last week, toward the end of this message, he referenced King Nebuchadnezzar's struggles that were documented in Daniel 4. And he shared this verse where Nebuchadnezzar finally comes to the end of himself. And he declares, "At the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever." And when Pastor Shane said that, he declared that to us a couple of times where he said, "We're at the end of those days. We're at the end of those days. We're at the end of those days. We're at the end of those days." And when he said it, I said, "We're at the end of those days because we're moving onward and upward and advancing the kingdom." That's what I said to myself. It's what I wrote in my notes, because I knew this word was coming on the heels of that. So if you're in this room today and you're still holding on to something from the end of those days where, like Nebuchadnezzar, you were being rebellious or you were being disobedient or whatever it is what you were doing that wasn't in line with the Father's will, we're at the end of those days. Throw it aside. Throw it aside, because we're moving onward and upward to advance the kingdom. So this word, part of this word, the advancing the kingdom part of this word came about sometime in November. I had a couple of these, but one was a very pronounced dream where there were just lots of us out on some sort of a terrain. It seemed like a rugged, rocky terrain, almost mountainous terrain. Not as high as maybe the picture on the graphic, but it was rugged. There were stones and rocks, and we were traversing it. A lot of us were traversing it together, and we were helping one another. And somebody was lagging behind, or just needed a hand or help over a particular difficult area. Somebody would reach out and help them, and it seemed like this went on for a long time, and I recognized a lot of us. There were a lot of different people that we were helping one another, and as we were traversing and going across this, it just seemed like wide and vast field, wide and grass field, terrain, mountain, paths, whatever all was included in that. It was almost like we were on some sort of a reconnaissance mission. We were on some sort of a war mission where we were checking out territories and finding out, kind of like in the Old Testament examples of they would send spies ahead of them to check out the land and find out, you know, weak points or who the enemy was and things like that. And that's what this seemed like in this dream. Like we were on a mission, and we were determined, and we were committed, and we were moving together, and it was very, very purposeful. It was very, very purposeful. And I note that here because Pastor Shane last week, when he talked about us being friends with God, he said, We are given perceptions into the strategies of the Father. We're given perceptions into the strategies of the Father. That comes from being seated with him in heavenly places. That comes from being bowed down. It comes from studying the Word. So I took note of that. So when I had this dream, whatever we were all doing together was driven by supernatural strategies. This wasn't earthly strategies. This was nothing of flesh, no confidence in the flesh. I don't really remember too much more from the dream, but when I woke up, I heard, "We're advancing the kingdom. We're advancing the kingdom." I heard it three times. "We're advancing the kingdom." So then around the same time, we were at men's prayer meeting on Saturday morning, open to all men at 6:30 every Saturday morning at Pastor Shane's house. Go to the back door, not the front. You're all invited. Public service announcement number one. And I say it because important things happen there. I can't explain it. Holy Spirit does things in us. It's personal. It's deep. It's rich. It's relevant. But anyway, and here's an example of something that happened there. We're there, and we were about wrapped up. I think we might have been wrapped up, and Bobby sent me a text about a vision he saw. There were three of us, and in this vision, there was me, Bobby, and Pastor Shane. And that's we were just our representations. I don't think it's necessarily relevant that there was the three of us. Three of us are pastors. Well, one of them will be a pastor soon. But we were in a muddy trench. We were in a muddy trench, and we were stacking rocks as if we were building a footer for a foundation of some kind. And he said we were talking to each other. Oh, we were not talking to each other, but we were grunting back and forth. There was almost a rhythm to our grunting. We stacked and stacked. There was a pace and a rhythm to the stacking. He noted that there was this blue ribbon that was woven around, first of all, me, and then it went around and around and around, and then it went down and it was wrapped around Shane, and then it was wrapped around Bobby. And while studying this image, he heard the word synchrony. Synchrony. And I honestly believe this word, onward and upward, we are moving in a synchronization for the kingdom, advancing the kingdom. As we, each person does its part. I'm not going to bring all those scriptures that we look at so frequently around here, but as each person does his part, and we're connected, we're tied together. That graphic has these guys ascending a mountain, and they're tied together. The graphic is every bit of the message is the words on the page. Because we're connected, and we're supporting one another. And sometimes there's going to be rocky terrain. My response to Bobby's text was this. When he sent that text about this image, I said, "Wow." On the way to prayer meeting this morning, I was reminded of the significant download moments recently. Men's prayer meeting, Heart of David worship nights, Sunday night prayer gatherings, other intimate times that we have with Jesus that had I not been present for, I'd have missed. That's why you hear us talk about this a lot, because there are moments that we experience that I'd miss if I weren't there together with the guys. And again, can't explain why that setting makes a difference, but I believe it does. Why the Heart of David worship nights are relevant. I'll just, again, public service announcement number two. We have a Heart of David worship night here. What's the date of that? 30th, last Friday of the month. Friday the 30th, last Friday of the month. It's here. One of the things that I love about the Heart of David worship nights is that Heart of David represents the body of Christ from multiple churches. This is not an Abundant Life thing. It's not a Real Living thing. It's not an Upper Room thing. It's not whatever church you want to attach to it. It's the body of Christ coming together with one purpose only, and that's to worship the King, where things happen, where things happen, where downloads happen, where significant moments happen. And again, I'm convinced that the expansion of these kinds of gatherings in this region are relevant for transformation in this region. I don't think we've begun to touch what can possibly come out of more corporate gatherings that just bring the body of Christ together. Public service announcement number two. But Holy Spirit was showing me through all of this that in these days, all of this is part of advancing the kingdom. We may not always know what's going to be accomplished, but the simple yes to an instruction or showing up or whatever it is producing, it's doing something for the advancement of the kingdom. So as this word was coming, these words were coming about, I typically, when I start hearing something, I start looking for something that describes this or looks, I don't know, depicts something and that maybe looks like it. And I came across these two pictures. The left one looks like three soldiers in a foggy battlefield. And the second one, obviously, is what's on the flyer. It's the picture of the three guys climbing the mountain. So normally when I get a word, when I get the word for the year, I start working on the graphic immediately. And I sort of sat, these were on my phone for a while, and I sort of sat them, and I'd look at them, and I'd pray over them. And I wasn't compelled yet to put anything together. And I was like, oh, well, I have the words advancing the kingdom. What's the holdup? But it wasn't all there yet. I didn't know it wasn't all there yet. So one morning, I was sitting at home, and I was praying, and I had those pictures sitting on my phone side by side, and I was looking at them, and I was looking specifically at the one on the right, and I just heard, onward and upward, onward and upward. I hate cliches, and that's what it reminded me of. It sounded like a cliche. And so I'm like, what? Onward and upward. You're going to be advancing the kingdom, but you got to get in your mind that you're moving forward, you're moving onward. So it was in those moments the Lord just put it together and said, okay, you're ready to put your flyer together. You're ready to put your flyer together. So onward and upward actually is not necessarily a cliche. It may sound like a cliche, but in the grammar world, which I'm a grammar geek, most of you know that, some of you don't, but I love words. I was an English major, I was a communications major, I was a writer for half of my life. But it's called an idiom. And an idiom is a phrase or collection of words that, when put together, have a deeper, bigger meaning than the individual words themselves. An example, I've seen the light. I've seen the light doesn't mean I see that light up there. It means I have revelation of something. I get clear understanding of something. Onward and upward. This one's a little more straightforward. But it may have nothing to do with physical movement. It may mean my mind needs to move on from these thoughts that I have that beset me. The upward part of that means I might have to be looking to heaven. Remember, the word was, he calls me heavenward. So it's not just some cliched phrase. It means we are moving forward. We are moving forward. We are part of, for whatever reason, we are part of God's assignment in this region. We heard a word from Kim this morning that said, affecting nations. nations. I don't know what that means for us in 2026, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to find out. We know that Grace and Kathy are probably going to end up in Guatemala again sometime this year. I think two more times this year. Lori Kibbe says she's going back to El Salvador at some point. We have connections with people in a lot of other nations. I don't know what all that means. But I'd say get your passports ready. I have to get a license that allows me to even get on an airplane because I still haven't done that. Onward and upward, I got to do it. Connie's been after me for a while. As an idiom, onward and upward means keep progressing, keep improving, keep moving forward, keep moving toward greater success. You know, I'm talking about kingdom success. I don't care about earthly success. Well, I care a little bit, but not that much. Sometimes, even after a difficult time, keep on focusing on the future, not on the past. Again, keep in mind that we've already told we have an Issachar anointing on us. We understand the times. We know what to do. We're fueled and ready. So then another part of this equation, and I believe this is one of the most utmost importance to advance in the kingdom. I talked about it briefly. So we had our Christmas Eve service here, as we always do. And our Christmas Eve service is a lot of times the same. It's simple. Jesus is the star. We're in and out in an hour. There's nothing complicated about it. It's really simple. And it's awesome. I've said this for years. It's one of my favorite services of the year. And this year, I usually speak for about 5 minutes, and that's pretty much what I did again this year. But this year, the Lord had given me the passage from Luke where the wise men were out searching for Jesus, and when they found him, the scripture says they found him, and when they saw him, they bowed down and they worshiped him. And when I was working on my little graphic for that and putting the little, the very short little lesson together, Holy Spirit said, I want you to do something with this year. And I was like, oh. And he told me what it was. And I was like, it's our Christmas Eve service. There's lots of visitors in the room. That might be uncomfortable. He was not swayed one bit. He said, I want you to encourage everybody in the room, if they're able, to get out of their seat and get on the floor and bow down and worship Jesus. And I was a little scared. It was dark in the room, so that helped a lot. But I just said what I just told you. I said, Lord said, get out of your seat if you're able, get on the floor. We're going to spend a little bit of time just doing what the wise men did when they saw Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you to have a conversation with Jesus as we're on our feet. And so when I was putting this lesson together, the Lord reminded me of that, that place, that posture, again, I talked about it a little bit at the beginning because we already did it again today, is going to be so important for moving onward and upward and advancing the kingdom in 2026. It's a place of humility. It's a place of acknowledging that he's the one who's worthy. And he does things when we respond that way. I don't understand it. I don't. But he responds to a willing vessel that says, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. We sang a song all about that today. All of you, less of me. So take all of me. Take all of me. So we did that on Christmas Eve, and then 2 weeks ago, we were singing another song. Pastor Mark was leading worship, and we were singing another song about bowing down, and Pastor Mark had us do it again. He said, remember Christmas Eve, we were told to bow down. Let's do that again. And when he said that, I was like, oh, this is relevant. This is relevant. This is relevant to this word. Amen. We're not asking things that are some impossible task, but it requires humbling ourselves. It requires a degree of vulnerability. Onward and upward is a declaration that we are moving forward with great expectation of Holy Spirit's leadership. I thought of the old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. He's leading the charge. He's leading the way. Amen. As we engage in this word together this year, and I'll be talking about it again next week. There's more layers to this that I'm not going to get to today. But we'll get into some more meat from the scriptures. But as we engage in this, we are seeing and we'll see more territories of darkness fall because the kingdom is advancing. We're going to see territories, the structures that the enemy has somehow set up. It's somewhat similar to what Pastor Shane told us several years ago, where the enemy has put signs on doors that says, do not enter. We're going to enter even more of those areas. More of those areas in 2026 to advance the kingdom. So at prayer meeting Saturday morning, Pastor Shane usually starts out by sharing something the Lord's showing him or some word. And he shared something that he read from a book. And then he said this. He said, God's way of advancing the kingdom is through men who pray. And I like pulled my phone out real quick and several people saw me and knew I had gotten, they knew that what he said was related to the word without me saying anything that this was related to the word. Because I just had a big smile on my face. I was so excited. Because he hadn't heard the word. God's way of advancing the kingdom is through men who pray. That's just one way. And the context was real because we were at men's prayer meeting. He says spiritual formation is happening in all of us, and we want all the participation of the kingdom to permeate us. We want all the participation of the kingdom to permeate us. You know, when I hear these kinds of things, when I'm ready to announce a word and I hear the word being shared, I get so excited. A couple weeks ago at prayer meeting, first of all, Cliff at Men of Valor Wednesday said this. I pointed it out that it was relevant. Without knowing what our word was and the images that were part of this, he said, can you just imagine this group of men just joined together to share Jesus with the lost and broken on a journey? Can you imagine? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, it's what we're going to be doing. And then that prayer meeting, I think it was the week before, Pastor Shane prayed this at one point. Our heart, Jesus, is for your kingdom. Dan Slagle prayed, we pray for a multiplication of this special forces team. We war against our comfort. Do whatever it takes to get us to your feet, to take the kingdom by force. We're pulling down those strongholds. Your perfect will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm like just writing, because I haven't shared my word with anybody. I haven't shared this word with anybody. Finally, I did this week with Connie. But he's praying these words. At one point, as we were praying that morning, I had a visual of us this year, and we were like sitting in chairs, and just kind of picture yourself when you're expecting something, and we were sitting at the edge of our seats. We were sitting at the edge of our seats. And I believe this is going to be an edge of our seats year. Edge of our seats year. Watching, waiting, listening, paying attention. What do you have next for us? What do you have next for us? So I shared this a little bit. I don't remember now where I shared it, but we came into church last Sunday, first Sunday of the year, and I walked into our open door class. We have an open door class, 9:30, open to everybody. We have classes on at 9:30 if anybody wants to join classes. But the open door class is meant to be, we're not studying any particular book or studies, so if you miss one, it doesn't matter. Every week is a gathering of itself, a study of itself. But then I walked into the class, and I had written three or four scriptures, and it was all about growth. And I had written down, we're poised for growth in 2026. And I had written down a name of a family that had been here the week before. And so I walked into class, and the class was packed. And I was like, okay, we're talking about growth today. We're poised for growth, and the class is packed. And the name of the family I had written down were sitting there in the class. And I was like, You're in my notes, and you're sitting here. God was in my notes. Quote Cliff Eddy. He was. He knows. He's so far ahead of us. He's so far ahead of us. Wes and Brittany Black were sitting in the class. Yeah, applaud them. Because the Holy Spirit's doing a work. Yeah. Yeah. He's doing a work. Eric Travis was in the class. Yes. None of these people had ever been there before. And we're walking into a new year about advancing the kingdom and moving onward and upward. And we're walking into a class where we're talking about being poised for growth. And it's happening before we even get to the lesson. And I point all that out not to call attention to, these are just part of the equation. These are people that are part of the equation. I'm not here to embarrass them, although I'm not shy to doing that at times. But I point it out because people are always part of God's equation to accomplish his work. And we get to be part of his work. Pastor Shane said this at the end of his message last week. We know the spiritual momentum of God in these turbulent times. And Holy Spirit is positioning a people. And he had given this example of whitewater rafting, I think it was whitewater rafting, and how the river guide knows what's under the river. We don't always when we're on the river. But he said, Holy Spirit is positioned to get people who know the river and are effective for the kingdom in these times. We are a house that is centered in Jesus, and that will produce friends of God. Are you a friend of God today? Are you a friend of God today? That's not just a ticket to spend eternity with Jesus. That's a ticket to say, I can say yes to the things he asks me to do for him on this earth. I can open my mouth and tell someone what Jesus has done for me. And then Pastor Shane said this, and friendship gives us perception into the strategies of the Father. I need you to trust me. This was the voice of God speaking through Shane. I need you to trust me in the day-to-day because I am moving. Abundant Life Fellowship, he is moving. We are moving with him. We are moving with him. Whatever looks impossible, it's not. But it's going to start on our knees. If you do not spend time, again, I know everybody physically maybe can't get on their knees. The physical act of being on our knees, if you're not able, does not limit your ability to get on your knees. But if you are able, and the only reason I say it is there's something tangible about taking a physical step. Now, I recognize I can get down on my knees and I can worship him and I can pretend something. I am not talking about pretending anything. So I guess my encouragement is if you're going to pretend, forget about it. But why pretend when we can have the real thing? Amen. We have a real Savior who loves us ridiculously. Who, for whatever reason, says, I'm going to entrust Jeanette. Now, I'm not criticizing Jeanette. But she's sitting right in front of me. And I've already picked on Cliff, so. But he entrusts us to hear his voice and to carry out assignments. And he puts people right in the middle of our path. Said, yeah, love that one. It'll be hard. It'll be messy. But it's for my glory and for my kingdom. Every single time we say yes to something that Jesus asks us to do, we advance the kingdom. I was sitting at home while I was walking through a room in my house this morning, very excited about this word, very excited to unveil it, and I heard a whisper. Who do you think you are to pretend to hear the voice of God? I did. But it stopped me cold because I haven't had that for a while. But it was a moment of, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't do this. And then I was like, get out of here. Get out of here. I'm a friend of God. And I have the privilege, the honor to lead a church. And you've been faithful to me. So that's who I am. That's who I am. But I share it. I wasn't going to. And I was sitting in class and Karen Sapp was sitting next to me and I had shared that briefly with her. I said, I'm not going to talk about it at all. And then Holly Guy spoke up in class and said, she's in tears, said, I just can't believe this onward, upward word. She said her grandfather used to speak that to them to get moving. Let's get moving. Get moving. And she said, I couldn't believe it when I walked in and saw it. And that was part of this word that I struggled with because I said I hate cliches. I hate anything that sounds like a cliche. But yet I knew I heard it. When she said that, and that's when I opened up and said, I got to tell you, the enemy tried to stop me today. And I knew he wasn't going to. I mean, What are we going to do? Sorry. The word is canceled. But I share it because he'll try to derail any one of us at any given time. We're on another exciting journey. You're a part of it. You're a part of it. Whatever limitations you think you have to being a part of carrying out this assignment, throw it off. Throw it off because you're part of it. Your assignment doesn't have to look like anybody else's. Remember, part of the picture shows people holding ropes together. They're dependent on one another and those ropes. We are ascending this mountain together. We were crossing, my dream, we were crossing this terrain together. No one was left behind because they were unable or weak or sick or afflicted. We'll delve into more scriptures next week on advancing the kingdom. But I leave you with this. Be encouraged that you have a part in this, that you are fueled and ready, that the Issachar anointing that is on us to understand the times and know what to do is for you. That the voice of truth is still speaking to us. That the assignment from 2 years ago to go and tell is still part of this assignment. That inviting the stranger from 3 years ago is still a part of this equation. And we can go back over every word that we've ever been spoken about, and one is building on the next. And anything that gets accomplished will be for the glory of God. It will not be some medal for us to wear on our lapel. It'll all be for His glory. If you need prayer today, my encouragement as you go into prayer this week on your knees, as you have opportunity, have a notebook handy. Keep a notebook handy. He may give you instruction. One of the things we'll delve into a little bit next week with this word is the connections and the ropes that go out of here and connect with that body of believers down the road, or that ministry over there, and this ministry over there, and that ministry over there. When we were at Wes and Chelsea's this summer for Heart of David worship night, I'm going to talk about this probably a little more next week because I'm going to get more details. But Joy and Perry Chikanowski from Real Living Fellowship talked about a couple of prayer gatherings that they've had in Columbiana County over the last year. And it piqued my interest because they gave this picture of a triangle of them praying in East Liverpool, and then them praying in East Palestine, and then them praying in Salem. And if you look at a map, that creates a triangle. And I believe we're going to connect somehow with whatever that looks like. Perry called me this week, and because I had asked him more about that, and he called me, and I haven't gotten back to him. But we're going to talk about how can we be part of praying at three specific corners of this county to advance the kingdom. How can we join with other bodies of believers where we're advancing the kingdom together? In March, there's going to be a women's conference here, not sponsored by Abundant Life Fellowship, but sponsored by Life with Christ Ministries, which is Pastor Chris Brock and First Christian Church in Salem. They're going to sponsor it here because they had it last year and they ran out of space and they needed more room. We have the room. We have the room. So we'll be hearing more about that in the months to come. I believe there's many, many, many opportunities to bring the body of Christ together to say, we are not competing with the upper room. We are not competing with Real Life Assembly. We are not competing with Victory Churches. We are not competing. We're the body of Christ. And we're tied together. And we're moving onward and upward for the advancement of the kingdom, not a name on a building. Let's stand. Jesus, we are so grateful. We are so grateful that you still like to speak to your people, that you invite us into your throne room and reveal things to us and speak to us and touch us and heal us and bring revelation to us. And so I pray as we go out of here today that we will go out of here with a mindset that wants to advance the kingdom. And if we're sitting here or standing here and we say, Lord, I don't know how to do that, then we say, Lord, show us the way. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. And if you're sitting here, standing here, saying, I don't know how to hear, I don't know how to see, talk to somebody. We'll pray for you. It's not a science. It's not a science. It's a place of brokenness saying, Lord, I can't do this unless you lead the way. I can't do this without your power. I can't do this without your wisdom. I can't do this without your love. I can't do this without your grace. So Lord, I thank you for everybody who walked in the room today, who heard these words. And I pray each one of us will go out with an assignment on their heart. And maybe the first assignment is just to spend time bowed before you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. You're the author and finisher of all of this. And for you and for that, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody needs prayer, there's people here to pray with you.